Good evening. My name is Barbara McKeon, and I'm the Director of Employment Programs and Services at the New York City Southern New York Chapter of the National MS Society. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight for the employment telelearning program called the Essential Guide to Flexible and Home-Based Jobs. The aging of our workforce has caused employers to prepare for a time when there may be a shortage of workers, and they will have to become more accommodating to employees, such as older workers or workers with disabilities, who might need the option of working from home. It's not uncommon for individuals living with MS at some point in time to consider working from home due to fatigue, mobility issues, or other MS symptoms. Our presenter this evening will address trends, top career fields, and most common jobs in the flexible and remote job market, as well as tips on how to find these opportunities and how to avoid scams. Following the presentation, we will open up the phone lines for Q&A. You can ask your questions via the chat feature as well. Today's presentation is also being recorded and will be available on our website shortly. So let me introduce tonight's presenter. Bree Reynolds is a career advisor and the director of online content at FlexJobs, the award-winning site for telecommuting, flexible schedule, and freelance job listings. Bree has 10 years of experience in career advising and job search assistance, a master's of science in human resource management, and she's a member of the National Career Development Association. She offers career and job search advice through the FlexJobs blog and media outlets like Mashable, Lifehack, Brazen Careerist, and AOL Jobs. So welcome, Bree. I'd like to turn
it
over to you.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Yes, thank you, everyone, for having me tonight. I'm excited to talk about flexible and home-based jobs with everyone. So let's go ahead. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was topics. So just a few of the things that I'm going to be covering over the next 40, 45 minutes or so, and then I know we're going to open it up to a question and answer session. So I'll be talking about what are exactly flexible and home-based jobs. You know, when I say flexible jobs, what exactly is that? Hopefully we'll get everyone on the same page with the same kind of definition there. And then trends in the flexible and remote job market, the top career fields and most common flexible jobs out there, the companies that are hiring for flexible and remote types of jobs, how to avoid job scams, how to actually find these flexible opportunities, and some job application tips to get you started as you're applying for jobs. You can go to the next slide.
Okay.
Thank you. So just a little bit about me. I know Barbara gave my introduction, so I don't have to say too much about that. If you can see the screen, I'm the person in the top right corner, so you can get an idea of who's talking to you tonight. But essentially, over the last 10 years, I've been a career advisor and a job search advice writer. And at FlexJobs, that's pretty much my job. I write or manage a team of writers who write about flexible jobs, how to find them, how to do resumes and cover letters and interviewing and all sorts of that stuff. And we, you know, run the range of people from entry level, fresh out of college, all the way to retirement and beyond retirement, people looking for those next acts or second acts or whatever you might like to call that in retirement jobs. So we really sort of work with a variety of different job seekers. A little bit about FlexJobs. We were founded in 2007, so we just celebrated our 8th birthday this January. We list pre-screened telecommuting, flexible schedule, full-time and part-time, and freelance jobs. And the big key there is pre-screen. So all the jobs on our site go through sort of a rigorous screening process with our job research team to make sure that they're all legitimate and professional level and no scams or business opportunities or commission-only jobs, that sort of thing. So just regular kind of legitimate, flexible jobs. There are 60 of us. We all work from home. I'm based in Dallas, Texas, but I'm originally from the Northeast, and so we kind of are all scattered across the United States. And since 2007, we've helped over 1 million job seekers in their search for flexible and telecommuting jobs. We also have over 30,000 researched and vetted companies on our site. So if you're looking for the types of companies that are hiring for flexible and remote jobs, we have a great database that you can search from based on career field or location or a variety of different other ways to search that. And I'll go over that a little bit more later in the presentation. And just to note that FlexJobs is a membership site. So what that means is for job seekers to gain access to all of the job information on our site, we charge a nominal fee. A lot of the information on our site is free, however, and so I don't want to scare anyone away. You feel free to use FlexJobs to its full advantage, even if you're not a member. What the membership gets you is access to the specific job application information and more details about each job listing. The reason that we do that is that we don't charge employers to post their jobs because we want the ability to really easily refuse anything that is not legitimate, that looks like a scam, that looks a little bit fishy. And so we don't accept any advertising or anything like that from that side. So we're totally job seeker funded and then 100% focused on helping job seekers. So it's a little bit different than other job search sites. But like I said, we have a lot of free resources as well. And I'll be sharing some of those with you tonight and just hopefully a lot of good, helpful information. So thanks again for having me. We can go ahead and get started. So first, as I talked about, I just wanted to get everyone on the same page as far as what flexible and home-based jobs are, because it is sort of a broad term that can be a little bit vague at times. So there are a lot of different options. The first one, which I think people think of most, is the home-based job part. And so if you've ever heard of terms like working from home, remote job, virtual job, distributed team, telecommuting, telework, those all basically mean the same thing, that you are doing work from your home. So that one's pretty straightforward. Where we get into a little bit of the gray area is with the flexible scheduling options, which could be full-time or part-time. You could have a full-time job, but it has a flexible schedule, so you're able to kind of shift your hours depending on your needs during the day. You might have an alternative schedule, which lets you have your regular days free, but you might work nights or weekends. There are jobs with flexible hours so that you can work maybe 4 days a week instead of five, or you know, just different sorts of schedules that might work better for you. And then there's a type of job called a results-only work environment, or a ROWE, R-O-W-E. And basically that has no restrictions or set rules as far as your schedule, your hours, where you work, how you work, as long as the results that you're putting out there are good. That's obviously still a very small percentage of the types of jobs that we see. Not a lot of employers have embraced that model, but it is out there. It's just something to be aware of in case you come across it. And then there's a distinction between project or employee-based work, and this you'll find in the regular job market as well. This is not only a flexible job kind of thing. So you have freelance jobs or freelance projects. Those are also called 1099 jobs, which refers to the tax forms that you have to fill out as a freelancer. Or independent contractor jobs. And then the flip side of that is the irregular employee or an at-will employee. And that's where you are an employee of a particular company, whereas a freelancer, you're sort of employed by yourself and you do project work for different clients and companies. And then there are short-term and long-term jobs. So it depends on what your needs or wants are as far as stability in a job. You might have something that's very short-term and you'll sort of put together a lot of different short-term projects, or you might have one very long-term job. So that's kind of the difference between all the types of flexible and home-based jobs that are out there. And just to give you an idea, when I say flexible jobs, it kind of encompasses this whole assortment of different things just in general. And then if I'm talking about a specific type of flexible job, like a work-from-home job or something like that, I'll be more specific and say specifically what I am talking about with that particular term. So hopefully that clears things up just a little bit. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. And then so some trends in the flexible job market. What are you looking at if you are out there looking for flexible jobs? The first thing I wanted to go over is home-based work. So we're talking about telecommuting or remote jobs. I think one of the common misconceptions with these jobs is that only people who are working for startup companies, who are fresh out of college and just getting their first job, are working from home, and they're working from, you know, their friend's basement starting a business or something like that. And the reality of working from home is actually much different. So the typical telecommuter, I think this is from a New York Times study, is a 49-year-old college graduate, a man or a woman. It's about evenly split between men and women. And they're working for a company that has more than 100 employees. And I think that's really important because that is considered, you know, a larger kind of company. And I think it's not always thought of as the case that working for a larger company, you might be able to work from home, but we actually see quite a few big name companies that let lots of their employees work from home. In the United States, about 4.4% of the workforce works from home full-time. So Monday through Friday or whatever their schedules are, they're always working from home. And then occasional telecommuters who might work at home some days and then work in the office other days, is it about 10%? But 50% of the workforce in the U.S. right now have telecommute-compatible jobs. So if you are working right now and you work mainly at a desk in front of a computer or on the phone, your job could possibly be done from home. And so that's a very good thing, because the more employers are sort of embracing this and allowing people to work from home, the more they're realizing how many compatible jobs there are for working from home. The opportunities are really starting to open up there. The projection is that 43% of workers will be working at home at least part of the time by 2016, which is only next year. And so that is a pretty big jump from about 10% now to about 43% in 2016. But it is moving very quickly. Last year at FlexJobs, we saw a 26% increase in the number of telecommuting jobs that were posted to the site over the year before. So that's a pretty good jump in 1 year to have that big of an increase. So it's a little bit high there, we think, but it will probably, you know, it'll get there within the next few years, if not the next year. For other types of flexibility, so for flexible schedules or part-time schedules, things like that, there's a couple different trends to note. The first is with flexible schedules. Right now, about 29% of all full-time workers have a flexible schedule at work, meaning that they have some control or more control than most other people at what the hours are that they're working. And then part-time, about 19 million people work part-time by choice in the United States, which is about 70% of all part-time workers. So there are a decent number, about 30% of part-time workers who are looking for full-time work but can't find it right now, so they're going with part-time. But the vast majority of people who work part-time are doing so by choice, and there are a lot of part-time professional opportunities out there, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Overall, though, as far as what we can look forward to over the next 5 years or so, about 89% of human resource professionals say that flex work will rise in the next 5 years. And that's a really big deal, because these HR folks that were surveyed are the people who are making decisions and sort of swaying their organizations to take on flex work and to use it to the organization's advantage and also to the employee's advantage. And so to have almost 90% of those professionals saying that flex work is going to rise in the next 5 years is certainly a good thing to see. As far as freelance goes, right now about 34% of the U.S. workforce are freelancers, and that's projected to increase to about 40% by 2020. So across the board, for all types of flexibility, we really do see things trending upward. So if you're looking to work from home or have a flexible schedule or work part-time professionally, there are certainly opportunities out there now, and they will continue to grow over the next few years. So let's go over some of the top career fields for flexible jobs. Now, these 14 career fields that I have up here are usually have the highest volume of flexible jobs. That includes everything from telecommuting to part-time and all of those different types, month over month. And we take this from our jobs database at FlexJobs. We analyze this every month just to see where the trends are and what categories are really sort of supporting remote work and flexible work a lot. And these 14 really do have the highest number. So let me just go over these really quickly for the people who are on the phone and who can't see the screen. So number one is medical and health, followed by sales, customer service, administrative, education and training, computer and IT, marketing, web and software development, research, accounting and finance, project management, engineering, consulting, and writing. And the reason that I put 14 up there instead of a top 10 or something like that is because these tend to fluctuate within each other. So really, these 14 are very representative of the most popular, I guess you would say, categories for flexible jobs, the ones that have the highest number of job listings. And, you know, from month to month, they might change a little bit. So you might see writing bump up to number 9 and web and software development bump down to 14, or, you know, different variations within it. But I think this is a really good overview of what our, you know, over the long term, if we're looking over this over a couple of years, these are really going to be the top career fields. If you don't see your career field listed here, I don't want you to get discouraged, because there are we look at about 100 different categories and subcategories for career fields in sort of trends and what's going on with flexible jobs. And there are flexible jobs in every single one of those categories. So if you don't see your career field here, it certainly doesn't mean that there are no opportunities out there for you. These are just the ones with the highest volume. But I would definitely recommend going out there and doing a little bit of research to see what might be out there in your particular field. One of the ones that surprises people a lot is the medical and health field, because that's consistently at number one. That one really does not change month to month. All of the other ones shift a little bit, but medical and health is really number one very consistently. And it's a little bit surprising, but then when you look at the overall job market, you realize that medical and health jobs are the number one growing field in the job market as a whole, too. So it makes sense that it would carry over to flexible jobs. And now we can go to the next slide. Thank you. So for some of the most common telecommuting job titles, we compiled this list by using our job research team. There are about 12 job researchers at FlexJobs, and they spend basically all day every day when they're working looking for flexible types of jobs to post on our site. And they listed these as the top 20 most common telecommuting job titles. These are particular to telecommuting or working from home. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, which it sounds like a large portion of the group probably is, then these are sort of the main job titles that we do see out there. So I'll go over these really quickly for anybody who's on the phone. We have number one is writer, then consultant, customer service representative, sales representative, engineer, account executive or manager, software developer, case manager, medical coder, adjunct faculty, systems analyst, program or project manager, user interface or user experience designer, travel counselor, insurance adjuster, graphic designer, bilingual interpreter, SEO or marketing assistant, director of business development, and marketing manager. And so, again, this just sort of shows you the wide variety of the jobs that are available to work from home. I think there might be a question.
No, I was just going to jump in there, Bree. I'm sorry to interrupt. People know not to freak out if you can't see this, if you're on the phone and you don't. This whole presentation is on the website, on the national website. If you go on our website and look up the training for this evening, and you'll find the training for this evening with the recording, and you'll see the information that Bree is giving you. So don't feel like you have to write everything down, because it is available. I'm sorry.
Yes, and I know I'm a – oh, no, that's okay. No problem. I know I'm a very fast speaker, too, so I apologize if anyone is seriously trying to take notes and I'm going a little bit too fast. And so another thing is along with the career fields that we talked about, those top 14 career fields, these 20 telecommuting job titles are by no means the end-all, be-all list of what options are out there for telecommuting jobs. So if you don't see your particular job field or career type that you're interested in on this list or hear it as I'm talking about it, please don't think that there are not opportunities out there. This is just sort of what we see on a very regular basis. But we also see things like virtual golf instructor, remote neurosurgeon. I mean, things that you would really never think could be done in a virtual environment. We've seen job listings for those things. And so I think, take this list as just a starting point to see really what's out there and kind of get your mind thinking about the different possibilities, but not as an endpoint that these are the only options out there, because there are many, many different types of jobs out there for working from home. So some companies that are offering telecommuting jobs, and these are, again, telecommuting in particular, but these companies do also offer a variety of flexible jobs. So for just an overview of the types of companies that are offering these, we see for-profits, nonprofits, we see small, medium, and large companies, government agencies, education, healthcare, entertainment, travel, financial. We really see a huge mix of different companies offering these types of jobs. Each year, we do a list of the top 100 companies for remote jobs, and in 2015, we found that there were a really nice mix of the top 100, and I have here listed the top 25 companies, and you'll see names that you'll recognize for sure, like Amazon, IBM, United Health Group, Dell, Intuit, Xerox, Aetna, Humana, American Express, ADP, some really big names there. And then you might see names that you don't necessarily recognize, but they are in actuality fairly large companies. Places like Teletech and Convergys, those are two of the largest customer service type jobs where they hire customer service representatives to work for a huge variety of different clients and companies. And so this should just also give you an overview of the types of companies that are hiring. And, I mean, we really do see things. Kaplan is education. There's a lot of financial things on here, tech and computer and IT and that sort of stuff. Healthcare, of course. There's definitely a healthcare presence here. It's just a really wide mix of the types of companies. And it's something that continues to kind of impress us or amaze us every time a new company comes on and starts posting their jobs at FlexJobs. We're really interested to see who they are and what they do. We have tiny, itty-bitty little nonprofits that operate from remote villages in the middle of nowhere around the world, and yet they're hiring people from all over the world in the United States and elsewhere to help them, you know, with their mission. And then we see giant names like PricewaterhouseCoopers or Apple is a big one too. And so there really is a wide variety. And where you can find more information about this, if you go to flexjobs.com and you take a look at our company guide, that's a free resource. I mentioned before there are over 30,000 pre-screened vetted companies in that guide. And you can search by your career field. You can search by your location just to get a better sense of in your area or in your particular profession what might be out there as far as the companies that are hiring. But hopefully this gives you a good idea of just the variety that's out there. So the important thing, how do you actually find these jobs? Where do you search? So, of course, there's FlexJobs. I won't go into that too much. You can certainly take a look at our site. You can see all of the listings for free, so you can see every job that's on our site, whether or not you're a member. And that will even give you a good idea of just what's out there in your particular career field. So if you're just wondering, you know, what is there for me to do, you can go to flexjobs.com and take a look at that. For all different types of job boards, I definitely recommend smaller, more niche job boards and smaller sites. Those big box job boards can be a little bit overwhelming. There's a lot of job listings there, and you really have to sift through them and do a lot of work to find the jobs that you're really interested in. If you go to smaller job boards, however, there are, of course, fewer opportunities, but they're probably going to be more tailored to what you're looking for. So there are different niche job boards based on career field, based on location, based on the type of flexibility that you're looking for, based on the position that you find yourself in your life, whether you're close to retirement or you're just starting out or somewhere in between. There are a lot of different ways to find job boards that really cater to exactly what you're looking for. So you could do a Google search for niche job boards or niche job sites. About.com has a really good list of the top 18 niche job boards that they identified. So that's about.com, and then you could search for niche job sites or job boards. And then Smart Recruiters just recently did a list of the top 50 niche job sites that they thought were of high quality. So that's another one to look at too. That's smartrecruiters.com. And it really just gives you a better idea of, you know, what's out there for you rather than having to sift through a whole bunch of stuff that you know you're not interested to find those little gems of jobs that you really want to apply for. The smaller sites are going to get you those types of jobs a little bit faster. Also, I would think about the companies that you already admire in your life, whether it's a product or a service that you use, something that's made your life easier, a company that you admire because they do a certain type of work or they are, you know, they give back to their community or whatever it might be, just different companies that you thought, wow, that's a really nice company. And go to their career pages and see what they're talking about in terms of flexibility. Most companies that offer flexible work options will list it on their careers page or their About Us page. And you're going to be looking for something like flexible work options or flexible benefits or something like that. That word, that keyword flexible really seems to be kind of the big one that a lot of people use. And, and just see what they have to offer. You'll be very surprised which companies are offering different things like this and letting their employees work from home or have flexible schedules. And then finally, I would recommend not only looking in your local area, but looking regionally, nationally, and even internationally. Interesting statistic for telecommuting jobs, about 96% have some geographic requirement. So even though you're going to be working from home, there are most of the jobs will require you to be in a particular city or state or country, region of the country, and that is for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes the employers just want to have you close by so that you might be able to come in for a meeting or to meet with clients every now and then. Sometimes they're looking to expand into a new area, so they want you to be based away from where they're headquartered so that you can open up that market for them. It really depends on the type of work that you do. Sometimes it's tax-related. They might be set up to handle employment taxes in one state but not another. So there are a lot of different reasons that employers would require a particular location, even if you're going to be working from home, so keep that in mind. But we do see a lot of what we call work-from-anywhere jobs, and those are jobs that have no location requirement and will let you work from wherever you want. So that's another thing to look for, too, work-from-anywhere jobs. That's another good one. So how to avoid job scams. There are a lot of tips on the FlexJobs blog, so feel free to check that out. That's what I do. So a lot of the tips on there, you'll see my name attached to those. It's a free service, I guess you could call it, but it's basically, I think we have over 2,000 articles related to flexible jobs, job searching, remote jobs, the whole gamut of things that we've been talking about. But one of the things to know, especially with work-from-home jobs, is that there are a lot of scams in this niche. And so what you want to do is focus on the good keywords to use in your job search when you're looking at those different websites and to stay away from the bad keywords. And so some of the good keywords are remote job, virtual job, and telecommute job. Those ones usually will come up with legitimate job postings for you. Some of the bad keywords, and the reason I say bad, is because these keywords were designated by the FBI and the Better Business Bureau a few years back. I think it was in 2010 they first started doing this. Work from home and work at home were designated as scam-related keywords. There was a high number of scams using these different keywords to kind of lure people in. So if you see something that says it's a work from home or a work at home job, I wouldn't say 100% for sure that it's a scam, but I would definitely look at it a little more skeptically and take your time with that and really do your research before you apply, before you commit to anything, just to make sure. And if you can stick with the good keywords, those remote job, virtual job, telecommute job, those are much more likely to get you the legitimate job postings that you're looking for. The most common scams, these are usually, when you see work from home job scams, they are sort of short-term project-based scams. They're a way for people who are looking for kind of quick money, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. So things like data entry, pyramid sales schemes, envelope stuffing, wire transfers, rebate forms processing, craft assembly, and unsolicited job offers. And data entry, I should point out, is also a very legitimate work-from-home job. We do have a lot of very legitimate jobs in data entry. But there are also a lot of scams. So if you're looking for a data entry type of job, just be aware of that and try using those good keywords, remote, virtual, telecommute, over work-from-home data entry, and you're likely to come up with the more legitimate stuff. Some warning signs of job scams. So if you're looking at a job description and you see any of the following things, or you're dealing with a company and they behave in any of these different ways, it should sort of raise a red flag to you that this could be a scam and you should proceed with caution. So if there's no company name listed on the job description, or if the company is using a generic email address, so if it's, you know, joesmithscompany@yahoo.com or something like that, that's a red flag. None of these things taken one at a time are going to instantly tell you that something is a scam, but these flags, as they add up, as you start to say, okay, well, there's no company name listed and there's a generic email address. They wanted to conduct a job interview over Instant Messenger. That's another big red flag. The more red flags you start to see, the more likely it is that it's a scam. So I just said job interviews that are conducted through Instant Messenger. No legitimate company is going to interview you over an Instant Messenger or a chat system like that. They're going to at least want to talk to you on the phone, if not in person, but usually over the phone. And so immediate job offers, if you are, we've heard from a number of people who were first interviewed over Instant Messenger and then offered a job on the spot. and they were urged to accept very quickly. So that's a big red flag if they pressure you into accepting the job really quickly. They talk about how they're going to have to offer it to somebody else in an hour if you don't accept it, or they really want you on board and they don't have any time to give you time to think. They're really pressuring you into it. That's a big red flag. And then if you're dealing with something that wants you to do anything through Western Union or transfer money through wire transfers, those are big signs of red flags. Usually that's money laundering, and it can get you in a lot of trouble with your bank, with your credit score, with all of that stuff. So just back away from those and move on to the next job posting. And I would say overall to just trust your instincts. The thing that scammers are hoping for is that you're going to be desperate to find a job. They're preying on that urgency that job seekers feel to really get that job, lock something down, find the employment that they're looking for, and they're going to take advantage of that desperation, for lack of a better word. And so what you really need to do is keep your guard up, understand what these red flags are, and just be on the lookout for them. And if anything seems a little bit off or a little bit funny or just questionable, proceed with caution. Add up the red flags as you see them. Don't give out any personal information. It's the same, you know, same rules of the road as when you get scammed through email. You know, your wife or whatever, her email gets hacked and she sends you something asking for your personal information, and you, of course, wouldn't send that personal information. So you don't want to do that with jobs either. So just trust your instincts. There's usually something in the back of people's minds that say, this isn't quite right. And the need to find a job often overrides that little voice in the back of your head. So try to listen to that voice, and you'll stay safe. So some flexible job application tips. When you're applying to flexible jobs, there's a number of different things that you can do to kind of make yourself stand out, make sure that you are the best applicant for the job, that you're providing everything to the employers that they're looking for. The first thing I would do, and this goes for all types of jobs, not just flexible, but any type of job that you're applying for, is to customize your resumes and cover letters. And I know that you may have heard this already from lots of different career advisors. We all tend to give the same advice, but we keep giving it because people don't listen. So in customizing it, you try to look at the job description that you're applying for and pick out the big keywords that they're talking about in that job description. What are the skills that they're requiring? What is the experience they're looking for? And then use those keywords in your resumes and cover letters. Of course, you want to use the keywords that actually apply to you. I wouldn't say just put in the keywords regardless of whether you have those qualifications. But make sure that you are sort of speaking the same language as that employer. And that's not only important to connect with the employer so that when someone's reading your resume, they can really easily pick out what qualifies you, but for a lot of the larger companies that we're dealing with, and even some of the smaller companies, they use automated job application systems that pre-screen your resumes and cover letters. So they're looking for those keywords. It's basically a computer who's going through your resumes, your cover letters, and looking for those keywords, and if they don't find them, they're going to rule you out. And so before you even get in front of a human being, you're going to be ruled out by a computer if you're not doing this. If you have any previous flexible or remote work experience, you can put that in your resume. So if you've ever worked from home before, even if it was during an emergency situation, I know we've had a lot of snow this winter, so if you have been snowbound and working at home, that qualifies as working from home. If you were truly working, I know when some people are stuck at home because of the snow, they take it as a snow day, they have fun with their kids, whatever it might be, and that's great. But if you were actually working from home during those emergency situations, that could qualify. If you've ever worked flexible hours or you've freelanced, make sure it's all very clear that you actually use those words, you know, freelance, independent contractor, telecommute, home office, virtual job, whatever it might be. But list those things. You can do that on your resume in the summary of qualifications or in your technical skills area, in your job titles, wherever it makes the most sense for you to put that information based on your own experience. And then utilize social media and be visible online. So if you don't have one already, definitely create or update your LinkedIn profile. LinkedIn is the number one thing that will come up when someone Googles your name, for the most part. Not for everybody, but for most people. And so you want to make sure that you have that LinkedIn presence because it automatically, if an employer is going to be searching for you online, it puts your professional presence in front of them immediately. And so they see that you're active. They see that you have this professional-looking profile, that all of your information matches what you've already sent them, and it automatically puts them at more ease with your application to know that you are who you say you are and that you are a professional who is easily kind of found online in a professional way. There are also sites like about.me, which is a very basic way to put yourself online. It's kind of similar to LinkedIn in that you put information about yourself. You might have a picture. You'll have information about the jobs that you've worked. You can do like a mini resume, basically. But again, it gets your name out there online in a professional way. It's free, which is always nice. And then there's WordPress. If you're interested in creating an online portfolio or a blog, it's a really easy, free tool to use to create your own blog or website, essentially, and just put your information out there. And the nice thing is, once you have your information on LinkedIn or WordPress or about.me, you can really get creative with it. You can put more information than you can fit on your resume, so you could even have a link to your WordPress site on your resume, and then an employer would be able to kind of see more about you and what you have to offer there. The main thing, no matter what you're using online, is to keep your personal brand consistent. And so that's really how you're presenting yourself to employers, to the employment community as a whole. You want to make sure that it's consistent from your resume to your LinkedIn summary to your WordPress, whatever you have out there online, just make sure that it's consistent about yourself. And then finally, you can prepare good stories for job interviews. So research the company, of course, see what their company culture is like, understand different things that are happening, sort of the newsworthy things that that company is going through. You'll also want to show your personality when you're talking in a job interview or over the phone is a little bit trickier because you don't have those physical cues, so you really have to use your voice to display your personality over the phone, but it's really important to do so. And then help them envision you working for them. When you're telling a story, you really want them to see you at work, see what you were working on, the problem that you solved or the solution that you came up with or a project that you really knocked out of the park. Give them some detail about that story and really kind of own it and be proud of it and help paint a picture for that employer to view you working in their job. That's really the main thing is you want to make it really easy for employers to see you capably doing their job. And the way you do that is by telling stories about how you've been capable at other jobs and how that kind of transfers over into the job that you're applying for with the new employer.
Okay. So it looks like you're ready for questions, Bree, am I right?
I think I am, yeah. I take a little sip of water and we can
okay.
get to it.
Well, please know, everyone, that we had over 800 people register for tonight's program, so we're probably not going to be able to answer all questions live this evening. But we want you to know that if we don't get to your question, we'll do our best to answer it via email, and I will give out my contact information before the end of the call so that if your question doesn't get answered, you can contact me, and I'll be happy to get the information for you. So we're going to be taking calls on the chat, questions from the chat. If you have a question, write it up on the chat if you're online. If you're not, our operator is going to give you instructions on how to ask questions on the phone. So, operator, we're ready to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you would like to ask a question online, please use the chat feature located on the lower left corner of your screen. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question comes from the line of Jill. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. I'm wondering, how do I go about doing an interview on the phone? Who do I submit a resume to, and how do they know that I may be qualified for a job?
Great question. Thank you, Jill. So for phone interviews, yeah, they're a little bit different than in-person interviews, that's for sure. The process to get a phone interview is the same as any other job. So you'll find the job listing or you'll hear about it through a networking contact, perhaps, and you'll apply to that job. You'll submit your resume, your cover letter, any of the other information that they are asking for. And I would say it's really important to follow the instructions that are in the job description, because oftentimes employers will ask for a couple very particular things that they'd like you to discuss in the cover letter or have on your resume. And you just want to make sure that you cover all of those bases so that they can check off their little box that they have your information for that. That makes it a lot easier to move to the next round. And essentially, once you've shown them that you are qualified for that particular job, at least for the interview process, it's really up to the employer as to how they're going to interview you. So for a lot of work from home jobs, because you may not be working for an employer who's in your immediate area, they will choose a phone interview because it's really the easiest way for them to connect with you. You don't have to travel. They don't have to pay for you to travel. It works out very well for everyone. So with a phone interview, you definitely want to practice ahead of time. It can be a little bit strange to be in a room by yourself, and when you're used to interviewing in person or you just haven't had a job interview in a while, whether you've been working or whatever it might be. So practice ahead of time, even if it's just answering questions by yourself with a phone held to your head. You don't have to be on the phone with anyone, but just, you know, having the physical phone there can help a lot. I would also recommend practicing with someone, if it's a close friend or a family member, someone who can help you, you know, start talking over the phone and showcase your personality. And I have to say, Jill, you sounded very clear and well-spoken over the phone, so I think you're off to the right start.
Thank you so much. I've done 20 years of radio news as an anchor, and
I think
there are many things I can do. I have a teaching degree and also a journalism degree, and I would love to do some writing or consumer work.
Okay. Yes, there are, writing jobs galore, I would say, is probably the way to do it or to describe it. And also education for anyone who has a teaching degree or who has taught in a classroom or tutored.
Oh, yeah.
There are lots of opportunities. A lot more education is being done virtually now, and that's from the grade school level through high school and college courses. And it could be, you know, a long-term assignment where you're teaching a whole classroom. It could be a tutoring assignment where you're tutoring individual students. But it's kind of all done virtually, and they're very flexible. Usually they're part-time. You kind of set your own hours. You say when you're going to be available, and especially for the tutoring jobs. And for teaching jobs, it's a little bit different. Usually it's very kind of set hours because the students are going to be showing up to your virtual classroom every day.
Sure.
But there are a lot of opportunities for those sorts of things.
Thanks for that, Bree. Thanks so much for all of that. We do have a lot of people on the phone and a lot of chat, so we want to get to some other questions. Thank you, Jill. Can we take one more phone question, and then we'll move on to some chat questions.
And the next question comes from the line of Tara. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi. I think no particular websites. I know Rat Race Rebellion. I just don't know of any.
Sure, yeah. Particular websites for flexible jobs?
No, not just flexible. I'm looking for a part-time job.
Oh, okay. So Rat Race Rebellion is definitely one that we've heard of. They have a pretty good reputation. Flex jobs?
More like... They seem, I have a degree in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of things. They're more, you know, who, like, how can I say, not degree jobs.
Oh, yeah. But, yep. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Flex jobs is a good source for that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would highly recommend doing flex jobs and looking at flex jobs websites.
Okay.
Right, Bree?
Yes, thank you, Barbara. Yep. Yeah, we have a lot of part-time professional jobs, and we specialize in those professional-level jobs. So, anything with sort of the bachelor's degree and up, we cover a lot of those types of jobs. We tend not to have entry-level or high school degree types of jobs. We do have some of those, but the vast majority that we have are more of the professional-level ones. So it's a good place to start.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a couple of questions from the chat. The chat box. Steve or Christina, if one of you could share some of those questions.
Yes. We have two questions, actually, that ask specifically for flexible home-based opportunities for writers, and then the one, the category was specifically virtual counseling-type jobs.
Sure, yeah. Actually, there's I just heard a success story from a virtual counselor. I think I wanted to say psychotherapist in particular. There's definitely a lot of different options out there. For writing jobs, there are a wide variety. So it depends on the type of writing that you want to do. We have things like blogging jobs where you're writing for smaller blog-type websites. There are copywriting jobs where you might be writing internally for a company and you're doing some of their internal materials. There are also technical writing jobs for anyone who has a medical or a scientific or engineering background. There are a lot of technical writing jobs out there. They do require some experience in those areas and knowledge of that sort of thing, but that seems to be a very big and growing field. Online content jobs, it's sort of similar to blogging jobs, but writing for larger sites, the kind of sites that are sort of in between the news and gossip. They're somewhere in the middle. They might cater to a particular field like lifehack.com. For example, they do sort of how to improve your life, how to simplify things, how to do all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of different opportunities. There's also grant writing for anyone who has experience in nonprofit organizations or really particularly with nonprofits. That's kind of the main qualification there. But grant writing is essentially, you know, writing applications to get grant money to fund those different operations. So, yeah, there's a wide variety for writing. And the second type was?
Counseling.
Counseling.
Virtual counseling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are a number of different options for that, too. And so you would look for, and usually it is called virtual counseling. Virtual coaching is another way to say it. We see options for behavioral coaches, virtual social workers, and what's the other one that I'm thinking of? Health coaches, if you're interested in more of the health side of it. We do see virtual counselors and psychotherapists in particular and psychologists, depending on what your training is and your background. And it is just what it sounds like. It's counseling, but it's done virtually over the phone or through video chat, depending on what the company offers and then what the clients are also looking for as well.
Great. Thank you for that. We could take another chat question.
Sure. The next question comes from Janice, and she had questions about resumes and cover letters, now that everything is online, if there were certain fonts and bullets that you should use or not use for computer screen and software.
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, since a lot of things get scanned through software, through job application systems, it's important to use very basic fonts, so nothing too flashy or fancy. I wouldn't use multiple different kinds of fonts on a resume. So things like Times New Roman or Arial or Arial, you know, just things that are very basic looking fonts, nothing that wouldn't exist on someone else's computer. You want the ones that are sort of the widely used font types. I would also say for the formatting, for those types of systems, keep your formatting very simple. Don't use a lot of italics and underlines and bolds and dashes and all of that sort of stuff. Just keep it nice and simple. And the reason is that it's easier for a computer to kind of scan a very basic text document than it is for it to scan and pick up on keywords when there's a lot of other stuff to distract it. So keep it simple for sure with those. You can also create a more creative style resume. And if you're not applying through a job application system, if it's an email address or you know, if you can find an email address of someone who's working for the company or who works in HR, LinkedIn is a great option for trying to find those email addresses or connections. You can also send a PDF copy or a regular copy of your resume that has a little bit fancier formatting or is a little bit more creative. But I wouldn't use that for the online job application system.
Okay, terrific. All right, let's take another one from the phone line.
And the next question comes from the line of Michelle. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Michelle. Go ahead,
hi,
Michelle, with
you
your
question. I have two quick questions. One, I would like to know about the flex jobs, like on your website. How much is the cost to enroll as a member? And also, sure. Most of these jobs, do they provide benefits? You know, because that's one of my big things right now.
Good question.
Yeah, really good question, and definitely important to know ahead of time. So for the first question, for the FlexJobs membership, we are $14.95 a month or $29.95 for 3 months. And the thing with FlexJobs is that you can cancel anytime, and you can, if it doesn't work out, if you don't find a job or you just don't like the jobs that are on the site, nothing matches what you're looking for, it really doesn't matter what the reason is. We have a 100% money-back guarantee. So for any reason, you can cancel and we will refund you as long as that's what you want. If you're not satisfied, that's no problem. We really want to make it as easy as possible to both find flexible jobs and to get your money back if the site doesn't work out for you. So all you have to do is request that. And then as far as the types of flexible jobs that we see and the benefits that they provide, we've noticed and we've done a lot of different kind of research and comparing different jobs, whether they're regular jobs or flexible jobs, to see what the trends are. The benefits tend to be basically identical to what you would find in the regular job market. So if you find a flexible job that's a full-time employee job, but you're working from home, you're probably going to find that that job offers the same benefits package that a traditional in-office full-time employee would receive. So if you're looking at the company's page and you can see the different benefits that they offer, a lot of their careers pages will list the types of benefits that are available. Those benefits should apply in the flexible arena as well, if that makes sense. So they're very much in line with traditional job benefits. Freelance jobs, of course, don't offer benefits. Those are usually put directly on the freelancers. But for the employee type of job, if that job were to have benefits in the regular office environment, it will probably have the same benefits in a virtual environment or a flexible one.
Great. Okay. Good to know that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay. Can we take another phone question?
And the next question comes from the line of Tasha. Please proceed with your question.
I actually have two questions for you. In the section we were talking about scamming and such,
mm-hmm.
My first question is, why would you not want to do an interview via, like, Skype?
Oh, yeah. So Skype is definitely a more commonly used type of interview for flexible jobs. The one that people really should watch out for is just the instant messenger type of job where it's just a chat. So it could be Yahoo Messenger or Gmail chat where you're just kind of typing back and forth to each other but not actually speaking or video conferencing.
Okay,
so if you're on Skype, yep, exactly, yeah. I mean, you never know for sure, I suppose, but, yeah, it's much more likely to be a legitimate job. We see a lot of companies that use Skype, virtual companies that use Skype to do interviews and to collaborate with their teams. So, yeah, that's not necessarily the red flag. It's really only those instant messenger interviews that you should watch out for.
Okay, and the other half of my question was, how do you actually get paid when you work virtually and, you know, remotely like this? You know, are we doing direct deposits or what?
Yep, that's exactly it. It's the same setup as a traditional office environment. So for the most part, it's direct deposit. For example, I'm a full-time employee, and so I have a direct deposit twice a month, just like a regular office job. And so once you're hired, that's when I know before I mentioned don't give your personal information, don't give bank account information. Once you're hired and they're setting you up for the direct deposit and stuff like that, then it's okay. You'll need to give them that information in order to get that set up. But before you've even interviewed, that's when it's a red flag for scams. But, yep, it'll be set up very similar to a traditional office environment as far as paychecks go.
Great. Thank you, Bree. So now let's take a couple more from the chat room.
Sure. The next question comes from Holly, and she asked if some companies provide equipment such as computers or phones to do the job tasks. And she stated that her computer is pretty old and wouldn't be able to handle the tasks that are required of complicated computers.
Yep, totally understand, Holly. Yes, so it depends on the company. Some do allow or offer equipment, so they might give you a laptop or a laptop and a monitor or a headset, kind of depending on what the job is that you're actually doing, if you're going to be on the phone a lot. Other companies do have specific technical requirements, but they don't provide the actual equipment, so it's up to you to provide that for yourself. Most of the job descriptions will say what the requirements are as far as that goes, because it is kind of a big thing. You know, if you don't have those pieces of equipment and they require them, it's going to be hard for you to go through the interview process. So usually they'll tell you up front in the job description what they're looking for or what they might offer you in terms of equipment. A third option is that some companies will offer you a tech stipend. So they won't give you the equipment, but they will give you money every year towards new equipment. So they might give you, off the top of my head, I've seen them for $500 a year, and you can use that towards approved purchases. It might be towards a laptop, towards a smartphone or a tablet or something like that. And so they'll sort of reimburse you for the investments that you're making in your home office. One of the phrases that you might see related to this when you're searching for home-based jobs is BYOD, which stands for bring your own device. And that's a really good tip off that you're required to bring your own equipment. So if you see BYOD or bring your own device listed anywhere, that's where you're going to be required to have your own setup before you get started.
Great. We can take another chat.
Sure. The next question comes from Christopher. An average annual start in salary, say, for the past couple of years.
Sure. So, again, it's very similar to the regular job market, and it's hard to say what the average would be for. It really depends on your career field, your experience, your location, all of those sorts of things. I think a really good place to find that information specifically for your where you are is salary.com has a really good search tool where you can put in the number of years of experience or the level that you're at. You put in your location and, of course, your job or your career field, and then it'll give you a range. And it's usually like a $10,000 range, so the low end, the high end, and then the median amount. And that'll give you a really good idea of, for your particular career field, what you might be able to make. And, again, that's salary.com. There's also payscale.com does basically the same thing. So you can kind of go to both and see what they come up with independently and then kind of combine them to create your best range to go with.
Okay, let's take one more chat, and then we'll go back to the phones. Christina,
sorry,
you still with us?
Sorry about that.
Okay.
The next question comes from Brenda, and she just asked if you get jobs with any of the airlines ever as work from home or flexible jobs.
That is a good question, and off the top of my head, I don't recall seeing any of the major airlines' names, but again, we have 30,000 companies on the site, so I may not have come across it, in all honesty. Off the top of my head, I can't really say whether or not we do. I haven't seen any that I can recall, though. But it's, again, it's a quick search if you wanted to go to the site to do, there's the research company area, and that's a free part. That's the guide to the flexible companies, and you can search by company name and to see if there's any particular airline that you're looking for. But, yeah, off the top of my head, I'm not quite sure. Sorry about that.
No, great. Okay, let's take another one from the phone line.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to register for a question, please press 1-4 on your telephone. And the next question is from the line of Marcella. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. I have worked in the field for quite a while for, like, the 911 center and for emergency-type things, but I no longer do that. But I was wondering, is there anything kind of like that as far as customer service or in the healthcare field or anything like that?
There are a couple things that come to mind. We have, it's sort of after-hours medical lines or nurse lines where if you were to call your doctor, let's say at 10 o'clock at night and the office is closed, they often will hire out to a service that to help staff different people with either medical knowledge or history helping patients or crisis types of situations. And you can kind of walk those people through the symptom checklist and whether it's an emergency or not, and then what the next steps they would have to take, whether it's speaking to a nurse or telling them to go to the emergency room or whatever it might be. So there are things like that. So I would look for telehealth, like T-E-L-E health types of jobs. It's essentially customer service types of jobs or client service types of jobs in the medical and health category. But, yeah, we have seen, I think that's probably the closest related that I can think of off the top of my head for that area.
Great. Now, thank you. In most of these jobs, do you have to have really a fast typing, you know, to be able to type real fast, or is it?
Not necessarily, especially for the ones that are more customer service and it's more the quality of the service that you're providing over the phone. You don't necessarily have to have a really fast word per minute. I think you were thinking of WPM.
Exactly.
Yeah. So no, if it's and a lot of times the customer service jobs, if you look at the job descriptions, they'll tell you the percentage that you might be on the phone versus email or chat. And if they're really heavy email and chat jobs, then they might require a higher typing rate. But if it's mainly an over the phone type of customer service job, then they usually don't require that rigorous a typing rate.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, one more on the phone line, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to register for a question, please press 1-4 on your telephone. And there are no further questions on the phone at this time.
Great. We can take some chat questions then. Christina?
Okay, the next question comes from John, and it says, is your home office tax deductible?
Great question, and the answer is yes, in most cases. I will say there's a little asterisk next to that. So there are some very specific rules that the IRS has about home office tax deductions. They have made it easier, though. So now there's a simplified way where you input the square footage of your home office, and they do all the calculations for you. So they calculate the amount of utilities that you can deduct, the amount of your rent or mortgage payment that you can deduct. So they make it a lot easier for you now. I've been deducting my own home office for the past 6 years or so, and in the last, I think it's 2 or 3 tax years, it's been much easier to figure out what the deduction is going to be. So, yes, you can, as long as you fit all the requirements. The main thing that they're very stringent about is that your home office is used only for work purposes. So if you work very part-time out of your home office, you really have to be clear about the amount of hours that you are spending on work in that home office. So it can't be like a 24-hour thing. But other than that, yes. The simple answer is yes, you can.
Great. Another chat question, please.
Okay, the next question is from Barbara, and it says, what are good entry-level job titles and descriptions?
Sure. So for some entry-level jobs, I'm actually going to pull up our listing of entry-level jobs here. We see, as we were talking about customer service before, a lot of the jobs that come in that are the entry-level type are sort of customer service. And the nice thing is that you don't have to have any particular experience for those. They're really just looking for people who are really good with people, who can talk or type and really help people. That's the main focus for those types of jobs. And then some other entry-level jobs that we've seen include information specialist. So that's like a healthcare type of job where you're working kind of behind the scenes with medical records. We've seen entry-level accounting clerks. So you don't necessarily have to have a certified public accountant or a certification that you're a public accountant or anything like that, but just sort of an accounting assistant. We've also seen things like administrative assistant, operations assistant, assistant being kind of the keyword. You can look for that a lot, and depending on what you're interested in doing. Receptionist, production assistant, that's for more of journals and publications. We've seen things like bilingual call center agents, which if you speak more than one language, there are a lot of bilingual opportunities out there for working from home. Lots of different translation and interpretation types of jobs. And for just a couple other ideas out there, event representative, where you would be helping, it's sort of a part-time position, helping manage and build events for different industries. And sales representative, too. If you have a knack for selling things, there are a lot of jobs out there for that at the entry level.
Great. Great. Terrific. I think we can continue with the chat questions since there weren't additional phone questions.
Okay, the next question comes from Robert, and he asks, MS symptoms vary from day to day. Are there employers willing to work with employees who are not always available or might not be available on short notice?
Yes. Yes, and what I would say is for that type of position, you'll want to look for the flexible schedule types of positions. So that with flexible schedules, it really kind of puts it under the employee's control over when and how you work. So you can shift your hours. I have a flexible schedule now, and so I'm able to work at night if I have to or want to for webinars and such, or early in the morning. During the day, you know, on weekends, I can kind of shift it depending on what's happening in my life at that time. So if you are experiencing symptoms that aren't going to allow you to work for the day, there are a lot of jobs in the flexible schedule arena, and those could be work-from-home jobs. A lot of times they're work-from-home jobs, and that would help you to kind of be able to shift your work schedule and be able to take care of yourself when you need to and then, you know, get back to work when you're able to. So flexible schedule is probably the best option for that.
Great. Thank you. Next question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next question comes from John, and he asks, do you know of investment companies that use flex workers?
For investment companies, yes. we have, I think I mentioned, well, actually, no, off the top of my head, you know what I would recommend if you go to, because I don't want to lead you down the wrong path or give any incorrect information. So I would say if you go to flexjobs.com/jobs, you can look up, we have a couple different categories that might investments would fall under. It would either be under accounting and finance or banking jobs. There are a couple different levels there. And so those will get you to those kind of investment ones. You can also do a keyword search, too, for investment. But that would at least give you a sense of what the types of jobs are out there. And I should say, whether or not you're a FlexJobs member, if you go to flexjobs.com/jobs, you'll be able to search for all of the jobs that are in our database, and you'll be able to see what's listed and see if it is a good fit for you before you even sign up for FlexJobs. So just to kind of give you a sense of what's out there. But for investment jobs, I would recommend that because off the top of my head, I'm not quite sure.
Okay, next question.
Okay, the next question is kind of several people asking it. If you have any suggestions for people who may have a break or gap in work history when it comes to finding flexible or work-from-home jobs.
Yes, we did a couple webinars recently related to moms returning to work and people who've been out of the workforce for a while for a variety of reasons, whether it's unemployment or medical issues or what have you. And the career advisors that I've all talked to recently all say that it's really best to address the gap. So in your cover letter, it's probably the best place to do it, is to just very, you know, succinctly, don't make it more than a couple sentences, and be sort of, I guess the word would be scientific about it. So try not to, you know, tell sort of your life story when you're talking about it, but just be clear about this is why my work history has a gap in it. But here's why I'm ready to get back in. Here are some of the courses that I've taken recently or maybe a volunteer position, or here is why my previous jobs qualify me so much for this job that I'm applying for. So be open about it, you know, address it. I think the worst thing is when an employer sees that gap on your resume, but there's no explanation for it. And so they're left kind of wondering, well, what was that person doing during that time period? And so knowing is really, I mean, that helps them tremendously to say, okay, well, that makes sense, and let's proceed. And so that's one thing you can do. You could also fill it if there were things that you were able to do during that time frame, whether it might be volunteering at your kid's school or at a, you know, nonprofit in the area, even if it was just for a few hours a week or sporadically. If you took any courses or did some online learning, anything that can kind of help you fill in the details that sort of kept you active or busy over that time period, even if it was just very briefly, you know, like I said, for a couple hours a week or sporadically throughout the year, but just to kind of show that you were doing something in that area that might be related to work. Doesn't necessarily have to be work, of course, and in most cases it's not going to be work. But just, you know, anything that you can think of that might help to fill those gaps just a little bit. But the main thing is really to address it just clearly and straightforward and briefly.
That's a great suggestion, Bree, and we often do suggest that to our clients that have not worked in a while and want to have something on their resume. And believe it or not, there are volunteer from home positions and there are websites for that 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 we can share with you and are actually in some of the documents that are on the website along with the recording for this presentation. Unfortunately, we are at the end of our time, and we're hoping that you will all stay on for a few more minutes. If you are on the phone and have a question that was not answered, please email me at Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, dot McKeon, M-C-K-E-O-N, at nmss.org. Again, that's Barbara dot McKeon at nmss.org, and I will do my best to get your question answered. It may take a little time to respond, so please be patient. And for those of you using the chat feature, we have all your questions, and we will respond to those not answered this evening. And we would hope that you could stay on just a few minutes longer. We do have a few polling questions, just a few, four brief questions that we would like you to respond to. And the first one is, what you need to do is click in the middle of the screen. Don't answer via the chat. Did you learn, are you a partner, family member, or a person with MS? Give you a few minutes to respond to that. Got a lot more coming in. Okay. Next question. Here we go. Was the material presented relevant to you? Yes or no? Okay. Next question. Were the speakers and the information they presented easy to understand? Okay. Next question. Did you learn something new from this presentation? Our next question. Well, I think that was our last question. Thanks again for joining us this evening. And again, if you have any questions, you need to reach out to me. It's barbara.mckeon at nmss.org. Thank you so much for being on the call this evening, and have a good night.